Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Kelsey Harkness with the Heritage Foundation. She writes for DailySignal.com. She went to the Women's March recently over the weekend. This was the one on January 20, 2018. We're going to talk about it and some of the things she saw there. Kelsey, welcome to the program. Great to have you back on.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, just to set this up, I know these women's marches occurred in different cities, including New York City. I guess there were 120,000 women or people marching in New York City for that. But you were in the D.C. area, correct?
That is correct. So last year, these women marches all got started the day after President Trump was inaugurated into office. And this year, they attempted to continue that, holding its first anniversary march. So I was in D.C. These marches were held in cities across the country. I will say they were significantly smaller than they were last year, but they certainly still have a lot of momentum, a lot of passion, a lot of signage. You know, they're called women's marches, but what they seem to be focused on is their disdain for President Donald Trump. Most of the signs that were there were protesting Trump and some of his, you know, more controversial comments, I'll say. They said they were standing up for women's rights. Usually that means access to abortion, paid for by taxpayers without limitations. So it was an interesting day, and it was also held the day after the March for Life, which I also attended in Washington, D.C. So it was really interesting to see the types of people at both marches and to kind of compare and contrast where the country is on some of these very controversial issues.
That's interesting. Let me ask you a quick question. When the pro-life march was finished, were you there afterwards? And when the other one marched, were you there afterwards? And the reason I ask is I remember years ago I went to D.C. and there was a major pro-life rally. And the police service, the park service, said we were just shocked and pleased with how clean everybody was. Everybody, they picked up after themselves. And one of the police officers or park service people told me, you know, a week before, they were celebrating Earth Day, but they left this place a mess, you know, in terms of litter. And here the pro-life people, you know, that's not their issue, but they all, you know, cleaned up after themselves. I'm just curious about that in terms of just, you know, common decency, comparing the two marches.
Well, I live in Washington, D.C., and I do remember after the Women's March last year, signs and trash were left all over the city. It definitely was a big deal and definitely showed a lot of hypocrisy.
You mean like littered?
A lot of, I guess, privilege, I could say. I mean, I didn't notice, I wasn't in the areas where the marches were held this year after the fact. But I can't comment on the question about, you know, trash being left behind. So I'm not sure how to answer you on that one.
Okay, no problem. Were there celebrities at the at either march this year?
There were celebrities at the Women's March. I saw a few in New York City. There were certainly a lot of members of Congress and a lot of activists speaking at the one here in Washington, D.C. But the big march that the Women's March put together was in Las Vegas. So I think there in New York City is where you saw a lot of celebrities either just participating or actually speaking out. And then at the March for Life, we know we had the biggest celebrity in the world, quite possibly, and that is President Trump, who was the first president in U.S. history to make a live stream appearance and speech for the March for Life.
Wow, that's neat. Oh, was he, when you say live stream, you mean he wasn't there?
So he was speaking from the White House, but it was a live feed directly to everybody at the March for Life.
All right. Wow, that's interesting. By the way, last year when they had this big women's march, there were comments made along the lines of, you know, burn down the White House. Madonna said that. And then I think she said later she was just joking, but you know, sometimes even jokes can lead the Secret Service to, you know, call on somebody to make sure that there was nothing said there. Somehow there's, I guess the left can get away with things like that. But I was just curious if there were any remarks along those lines that, you know, kill the guy or, you know, just something terrible that should never be said, period.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in the context of the signs people were using to express themselves at the Women's March, in a lot of cases, they were protesting some of the profanity that President Trump either has said or has been alleged to have said.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is the signs that they're using to protest that profanity often have profanity featured in them.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was very hypocritical. If they have a problem with the way the president is acting and speaking and the language he's using, well, you know, how are they making the situation any better by using that language in signs in a city where young kids are around and they're actually bringing their young kids to these marches and, you know, surrounding them by that type of language. So I can't say I agree with that strategy there that they use, and certainly not every sign was using profanity. But there was, again, there's a lot of anger in the signs. It wasn't, you know, people were excited to be there, but there was definitely a sense of anger.
Which march had more people, from what you could tell? The pro-life one on Friday, it would have been Friday, I guess, versus the one on Saturday, the Women's March on Saturday.
So I can't answer this factually because I, you know, could not sit there and count the number of people. But from what I saw, in my own opinion, and I'm not saying this to be biased, I really think there were more people at the March for Life. I've been to a number of March for Life before. 2 years ago, there was a massive blizzard, so a lot of people could not attend. And this year, I was just blown away. It was a beautiful day. There were so many people there. I really couldn't even find the end of the march. So I do think more people showed up for the March for Life. That's just talking about Washington, D.C. However,
right,
the Women's
right.
March had marches in different cities beyond where I was in the district.
That's fair enough. Were there any things that you saw at either march that shocked you?
Well, at the Women's March, there were some pro-life protesters, or usually I call them pro-life, but in this case I might call them anti-abortion, because they were protesting with some very graphic posters of, you know, what a baby looks like at 20 weeks old. I'll cut up a lot of these pictures we've seen and come out of the Planned Parenthood videos and so forth. Very graphic, but they, you know, they're standing there and they decided to attend the Women's March to make, you know, their views known about abortion and about life. And in front of them, a lot of Women's March attendees and Planned Parenthood supporters, people who are pro-abortion, decided to try to block their signs. And so I walked up to them. We had a camera. I walked up to these, you know, Women's March Planned Parenthood supporter people and asked them why they were blocking the signs and wanted to get to know their views on abortion a little bit more. And I don't know whether or not to be shocked by this, but I guess at the end of the day, it really did shock me because, of course, the abortion culture has kind of exploded in this country. But it's exploded to the point where most of them did not support any limits on abortions whatsoever, and I have this on camera. You can watch the video on dailysignal.com.
Mm-hmm.
They also did not have any problem with aborting babies simply for the reason that they have Down syndrome. And even when I kind of pressed them, well, what's happened in Iceland, we know from a report that came out last year, is there's hardly any more children with Down syndrome because everybody is now just aborting children who are diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb. And I ask if that's problematic, and they said no. And the third thing that really shocked me on that front was one young girl also made a comment about how adoption and the foster care system is not a better option for children, for many children, than abortion. And that was just really sad to me because I can't imagine how children who are happily in a family that has chosen to adopt them, or, you know, even in a foster care system where it probably is not the best situation. I just can't imagine telling that child that their life might not have been worth living. So that was very sad and surprising to me.
That is sad. I know personally some people who've been adopted, and you know, they've had quite a life. The guy that founded Wendy's, Dave Thomas, was adopted and was a big advocate of adoption. Gerald Ford, we had a president, a U.S. president, that was adopted. So that is amazing. If this is a hypothetical question, but if Donald Trump, let's say, were anti-abortion, but he still, you know, held with everything else, okay, would there have been as much protest? In other words, how much of the Women's March protest against Donald Trump was directed towards abortion? I think that's a better way of wording my question.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think a lot of the Women's March, it does surround reproductive rights, is what they call it. And reproductive rights to the left is basically access to taxpayer-funded abortions with no limits, access to birth control and contraceptives paid for by the government. And it's also forcing employers who might, you know, have strong religious beliefs against abortion or contraceptives, forcing them to provide those services to their employees. I do think that President Trump's position on those issues is a major reason why the Women's March got started. It's not the only reason, but I think it is interesting because the issue of abortion was at the forefront of both the March for Life and the Women's March.
Hmm. All right. Donald Trump sent out a tweet, and this is in your article at Real Donald Trump. Beautiful weather all over our great country. A perfect day for all women to march. Get out there now to celebrate the historic milestones and unprecedented economic success and wealth creation that has taken place over the last 12 months. Lowest female unemployment in 18 years. Exclamation point. Sort of like in your face, I guess. But you know, can you say anything that he said there is wrong? You know, I mean, it's unprecedented, and it's good for everybody, I think.
Yes, that was some serious trolling on behalf of the President of the United States, and I could not help but laugh at that, because what he said, you're exactly right. It's true what he said. I think he knows why women are out there marching. I think he knows it's because they have a problem with him as a president. But look, I think President Donald Trump respects their right to go out there and march. I think a lot of people miss the fact that we had a government shutdown last weekend when Congress failed to pass a CR at midnight on Friday. And when we had a government shutdown under the Obama administration shut down all national parks. You did not have federal police, any sort of security forces working anymore. You couldn't enter the national parks. Well, when the Women's March was held on Saturday, the day after the government shut down, and President Trump chose not to make the government shutdown political, and he actually chose to keep the national parks open. He easily could have basically ended the Women's March. He could have shut it down. He could have blocked off the National Mall from anybody being able to attend, and he didn't. He enabled those women and men who attended to go out there and make their voices heard. So if he wants to send a harmless little tweet sort of trolling them because women are employed and they are seeing higher wages, then that is A-okay with me.
Hmm. All right. And final question, because we're almost out of time. But explain about the theme of The Handmaid's Tale. Some people may see this sometimes with women dressed in kind of a bright red, old-fashioned cloak around them. What is that in reference to, and why were there many such women at the big Women's March?
Yes, this is about a book that was later turned into a movie about women who were sexually oppressed. They were literally, you know, forced to live in these houses and get pregnant when they're told to get pregnant. Very, very sexually repressed, very extreme form of women's oppression. And Planned Parenthood was the one who started using this costume from the movie to stage protests here around the Capitol. And since then, it has spread. And so we saw a few of those costumes at the Women's March, and it really was not surprising to me because it is a message, a subliminal message that Planned Parenthood supporters are trying to send about the Trump administration, which I actually think is not only unfair, but intellectually dishonest, because women here in the United States have so many freedoms, and internationally, when you think about the ways women are still sexually oppressed, I think it's really insulting to pretend that we're on any level even close to that here in the United States.
Mm. All right. Hey, Kelsey Harkness, thanks so much for being with us. Your material can be read at dailysignal.com. All the best, Kelsey. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.